America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
There we go.
Top story.
There we go.
From the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not my beat.
Gotta love technology. All right, let's go. Hopefully the phone's working better than the computer system. Jonathan Peterlin hosts nights up at 92.3 The Fan, our sister station in Cleveland, Ohio. Jonathan, how are you, sir?
Craig, what's up, man? How you been?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Despite the wars of technology, I'm doing good. I'm sure I know your boss is leaving you guys, the great Andy Roth up there, but I'm sure he left everything in perfect working order before he departed.
Yeah, I mean, you're saying that tells me you know Andy, so you know exactly how he left it. But yeah, it's I know your listeners don't care in the slightest bit, so we don't need to elaborate on Andy, but we're good to go. We'll be fine, but obviously he's great and he's one of the best.
Yes, he's great, despite sometimes the things that he says to me. Okay, Jonathan, let's talk about
what did he say to you?
I mean, what, honestly, Jonathan, what hasn't he said to me? I've known Andy for like a decade. So, you know, as we said, our listeners probably don't care too much, but we all have a friend who loves to jab us and then is like, by the way, how you doing? And Andy's that friend for me.
Well, you need people like that in your life. Craig,
yes.
He's trying to keep it humble. That's all it is.
That is exactly. Boy, does he do that. That is for sure. He will be thrilled to hear this. Yes, Andy, you're great at what you do, keeping me humble and occasionally maybe even being mean. Okay, so the Browns. I feel like Andy should have been paying you hazard pay for watching this offense. They have not been good. Are there signs of hope, though? Because if you look close enough, you squint your eyes when you watch the tape, I think you can see a couple of things maybe starting to get a little bit better. They're digging out of a massive hole. So what is kind of the conversation up there around this offense right now?
Yeah, if you have to squint to see it, I choose to squint because I think there was a lot there in the Raiders game that a lot of fans – and listen, it's weird in Cleveland right now because if you hate Deshaun Watson, then you're just going to pick out the bad. And if you love Deshaun Watson, then the man can do no wrong. And he's just so polarizing that it feels like no one's in the middle. I'm trying to be in the middle, even though I like to pick sides in sports radio. He started off horrible. It wasn't great. Cowboys game, Tom Brady, it was awful. And he's gotten progressively better with each week. And that game last week, Craig, was not on him. Like, that was not why the Browns lost that game. Browns have so many more issues beyond Deshaun Watson right now, and that's why I'm kind of excited for this weekend, because you're watching a lot of Commanders games. You guys are excited for your offense, but your defense isn't particularly good. They look better against Kyler Murray, but this is an opportunity for Deshaun to, like, keep building on what he did in that Raiders game. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot more optimism attached to the offense right now from a lot of different angles. Although the offensive line stinks, it's a complete mess right now, and that's putting a kindly to messes out there. And then the defense, number one defense in the NFL last year, they're not the same defense. And so that's where I think the problems arise.
So I want to circle back to all the football-y stuff in a second, but let's tackle the elephant in the room first since you mentioned it. Like, Watson is a polarizing figure because of really terrible things that he did, and even more that now that have come out that he is accused to have been doing. How does that affect, like, how has that affected the fan base? Because in years past, if you told me the Browns were coming to town, I'd be like, oh, they're going to travel really well. You know, whether it's called FedEx Field, now called Northwest Stadium, the stadium out in Landover where the Commanders play, there's going to be a lot of Browns fans there. I would imagine, based off of the recent history of the franchise, in terms of the on-field struggles, obviously not thriving, maybe better than, you know, the decade prior, but low bar. And certainly, I'm speaking from Washington. I realize the context here. But we certainly are also familiar with the organization doing tremendously embarrassing things. And I think, you know, signing Watson to the money they did, considering what he was accused of, like, that is beyond embarrassing. There is real visceral reactions for a lot of people to that. So how is that impact the way, I would say, you do your job, but also the way the fan base feels about him specifically and the team writ large?
Well, from my perspective, I have taken just a hardline stance of I got to separate the art from the artist when it comes to this stuff. And so, like, if I'm in the draft last year telling the Eagles ended up taking Jalen Carter, but I was like, hey, listen, if Jalen Carter's there, you got to find a way to take him. Not asking him you to invite him over to your house for dinner, just asking him to be your defensive end. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to take that approach, I'm going to take that approach. And that's kind of how I had to do it with Deshaun as well. Like, same deal. Like, I just got to separate the art from the artist. And that's kind of how I justify it. That's kind of how I live with it. Like, I'm not asking Deshaun to come over to your house or date your daughter or do anything like that. I'm just asking him to be the quarterback. And so I think a lot of Browns fans have kind of adopted that. It's sad that we kind of had to adopt that, but right. You have to adopt that. And I would say, as far as the amount of fan base that has been affected by it, I mean, people daily, that'll tell me that they just can't root for the Browns until Deshaun is gone or Deshaun is no longer a part of the team. And that's just their reality. So it's definitely fractured some of the fan base, but it's just a large number is just kind of dealing with it. And I do think there's, on the other side of that, I think there's a large number of people that has just made Deshaun Watson their guy for whatever reason, and they're just ready to see this thing through. And they look at what he did last week, and they're like, let's build on that. Let's keep going. But yeah, it hasn't been easy. I'm not going to say it's been easy.
Yeah, no, I get the position that you guys are in as a talk show host. And, you know, the analysis on Deshaun Watson off the field hasn't changed. That guy sucks. If you just get on the radio every day and go, that guy sucks, then you're like, what's the point of having a show? So I get that eventually you just have to be like, all right, here's what he did on the football field. And with that, what were the signs to just do that ourselves here? Like, what were the signs in the Raiders game? The things that you go, oh, okay, that was better. Perhaps there is some adaptation happening to this Ken Dorsey offense that can be better. And for, you know, Cleveland's sake, hopefully against Washington this weekend. Although my listeners certainly hope that's not the case.
Yeah, it's more about accuracy and how accurate he was and how, even with the deep ball, it just seemed like he was just getting more and more comfortable. The interception he had was off Amari Cooper's hands. That's the ball that Amari Cooper is supposed to catch every time. Had an 80-yard touchdown pass that was wiped off the board as well. Like, he just looked confident. He looked like a quarterback that you could trust to go out there and win a game. And I'm telling you, if you saw our offensive line, I'm sure at some point throughout the week, maybe you've gone through and digested it, but we have four starters that are out in the offensive line. It's how do you win with that? You have no offensive line, and then because you have no offensive line, your backup running back situation, because Nick Chubb isn't back yet. He's practicing this week. He's not going to be back in time for Sunday. It has been a trickle-down effect. And on top of that, David Njoku, who's one of the bright spots of your offense, is also gone. If you put Deshaun Watson the way he played this last week, on like a normal team in a normal situation, I think it would have been night and day as far as the box score looks. It's just right now the Browns are in really bad shape for a lot of reasons that aren't Deshaun's fault.
So the other part of the offensive equation, because I have watched, I also just like put on the hazmat suit and was like, all right, time to fire up this All-22. Let's do it. And watch and the thing is that's wild, Jonathan, watching it, is it's not just the backups. Like, when Wyatt Teller, who's one of the best guards in the league, is in there, like, he was struggling earlier in the season. And part of that is because I think the balance is so far off pass to run with what they're doing. They are dropping Deshaun back a ton, and a team that has been built on running the football the past bunch of years is not running the football a ton. How much of that is a daily talking point, and what are the decision makers involved saying about their run-pass balance?
Yeah, so Stefanski's always tried to preach that, but even when they had Nick Chubb, they were never running him more than 15 times a game. Like, it just wasn't a thing that they did with him. He had a cap on 20, and so it was very rare when he came close to that. And so they preached the run-pass balance, but we always knew, even with Baker, they wanted to throw the ball. Stefanski wants to throw the ball. That's what he wants to do. And so I think this offense, where you throw a ton with Deshaun, I think that's what he's always wanted to do. That's what he loved about Flacco last year. But Flacco, he just let it rip just as often as he possibly could. You had no run game in back of it, but it didn't really matter. And I think when your backups are Jerome Ford and Deontay Foreman, I think you're okay with making that your recipe. You just needed Deshaun to be better with the deep ball. But against Vegas, he looked like he was getting more comfortable and getting better there. So I think moving forward, once Chubb comes back, maybe it'll tell a different story. But until Chubb comes back, and in particular for this week, I think you're going to see Deshaun throw the ball, even when the matchup tells you that you should be running the ball, because I know the Commanders' run defense isn't great, but Stefanski, we've taken on some teams with some pretty bad run defenses, hasn't really moved away from that.
Interesting. Interesting. The defense, as you mentioned, number one in the league last year, major regression this year. How much of that regression is they've been on the field way too much versus actual issues with either scheme?
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Or execution?
No, it's not. Yeah, it's not a been on the field too much thing. They're just different. And there's a few different players that have just gotten cooked. Like MJ Emerson is a guy that maybe your fan base knows, maybe they don't know, but he's the number two corner. And he's somebody that at times gets asked to be the number one corner for the Browns. And he got absolutely destroyed against CeeDee Lamb. Malik Nabers cooked him. Like, he has been on a milk cart. It looks entirely different. And there's like three or four different players that I can speak of that are in that same camp that MJ Emerson is in. But it's nothing to do with being on the field too much or anything. They've just taken a drop off. Jim Schwartz spent the entire offseason talking about how he's not just going to do a fastball. He's going to go and, like, have curveballs. Because they got destroyed in the Texans game, the playoff game. T.J. Stroud just was able to dice them. And so Jim Schwartz kept saying how he's going to basically alternate what they do defensively. And you fast forward, it hasn't worked. A lot of guys are out of position. The missed tackles, I mean, Craig, the number with missed tackles, it's insane. And the yards after those missed tackles leads the NFL. So it's just, it's been a what can go wrong has gone wrong type situation. And I don't know how quickly it gets turned around. And the way Jaden Daniels looks, I don't know that this is the week that it does.
So the interesting thing for me, matchup-wise, between Schwartz and Daniels is Schwartz loves to blitz. That is how he has made his living. He has made a lot of money as defensive coordinator and won a whole lot of football games because of his blitz packages. Blitzing Jaden Daniels seems to be a thing that teams don't want to do. Tampa did it week one, and then he ran quite a bit and was able to escape it. And apparently the other teams that watched that tape went, Tampa got away with it, but we're not going to. And last week, Arizona, like Tampa blitzed 42% of the time. Tampa blitzed, or Arizona blitzed 16. How aggressive do you think Schwartz will be this weekend? Like, will he actually be able to dial it back, or is that just, like, Stefanski wants to throw it, Schwartz wants to blitz?
It feels sometimes like it. Schwartz has what he does what he wants to do. It's interesting numbers that you put out. I give him credit. I think he's more flexible at times. There's a couple things that are a little bit different for this week, though. Like, past couple weeks, for instance, Myles Garrett, who usually just, as you know, defensive player of the year, wrecks games. He's only played about 50% of the snaps in back-to-back weeks. He's got, like, seven different injuries that he's dealing with. And so there's little things like that that may alter what Schwartz would do in a normal week, because there's a lot of those type of injuries. And a lot of things we found out again today, Alex Wright, another guy, just gone for the year. And it's just they just continue to pile up. So I don't know how much of Schwartz would change based off the fact that he just doesn't have the personnel right now that he's been accustomed to, at least what he was last year, where it felt like he could pick your poison any given week.
Man, what an interesting team you have to cover, Jonathan. Overtime.
It's not great right now. It's not great.
There's stuff to talk about, but trust me, I covered the last 4 years of football here, and frankly, more than that, I've covered the last 10 years of football here at this point. There's only so much meat on the bone of a bad football team. So I wish for you a turnaround. I wish for it after Watson gets benched, and I wish for that to happen starting the week after this one. So that's about as good as I can do for you.
Well, thank you. I wish that Andy Roth is nicer to you in the future. You see, we're just breaking bread, having fun here.
We're just two guys that just became best friends. Jonathan Peterlin, everybody. You can listen to him tonight from 7 to 11 on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, which you can listen to here in D.C. via the free Odyssey app. Jonathan, thanks, dude. Really appreciate it.
All right, have a good night. Thanks, man.
That is Jonathan Peterlin.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.